Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
What is going on, Diesel Nation? We're excited to have you guys with us today on the Diesel Podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube and aren't subscribed, make sure and hit the subscribe button, like, comment, let us know what you think of the episode. If there's any questions that I didn't ask or that you'd like us to ask the guest or get a different guest on to, you know, talk about a different subject, we're always checking messages on there. Love to hear from you guys. On today's episode, I'm going to be chatting with Dallas. He works in the trailer industry, and there were a lot of questions that I wanted to ask him about trailers, different types, different ways to control braking, and just learn more about it. I know there's a lot of you guys out there that are very seasoned with hauling and towing, but there's also a lot of new guys who bought a diesel truck because they need to tow something heavier, whether it's for recreation or for work. So really looking forward to chatting with Dallas and learning more about it. I want to give a shout out to a couple of our sponsors. The first is Fluid Ampner. We had done an episode with them not too long ago. It was really insightful about what can happen with a stock dampener over time or with higher mileage, the way that they degrade and then can lead to catastrophic failure of the engine. They're really popular in race engines or high performance engines to be able to balance out harmonics, but it's a really cool product. It's something that you don't have to ever maintain. You just install it and it's ready to go. And, one of the things that I learned about it was just how susceptible older trucks can be to, you know, the factory one failing. So it's a great upgrade if you're going to be in the engine bay to go ahead and tackle that. If you have any questions, want to learn more, head on over to fluidamper.com, check out what they got. They're really helpful. They're more than happy to answer your questions. So if you send them an email, they'll get back to you, you know, fairly quick, or you can call in if you want to chat with somebody about your particular project, your particular engine, and ways to make sure you protect your investment. Also, if you're in the market for a knife, head on over to kershaw.kiausa.com. Our friends over at Kershaw have given us a 20% off site-wide code. Just use code DIESEL20 if you're in the market for a knife to EDC or throw in a toolbox, club box, hunting, fishing. They've got something for every budget, so it's a great way to save some money, especially now. It's around the holiday time, so if you know somebody that's really into knives or just needs one, just use code DIESEL20 and save 20%. All right, let's get to today's episode with Dallas from Nationwide Trailers, learning more about trailers, things you should ask before you buy one, tips that he's learned along the way, and chatting with him about his love for diesel trucks, racing, and towing. Dallas, welcome to the Diesel Podcast. I appreciate one of our previous guests connecting us not long ago to talk about trailers, and he had said, hey, you've never done an episode, you know, talking about trailers, and I thought, I haven't, but that's why diesel truck owners buy diesel trucks, is mostly to tow with. So I look forward to having you on today, learning more about yourself, your company, and then going through some of the things that you see with, you know, truck owners or customers or potential customers, maybe mistakes that they make or things that they do really well in selecting a trailer.
Yeah, of course. It's great to be here, man. I'm glad Josh was able to get us set up. I think it's something more people should be known about. I think especially in the diesel community, you know, it's one of those things that I notice when I go to races or shows that trailers are like the most afterthought item when it comes down to hauling or anything along those lines, unfortunately, in this industry.
It's really interesting. What would you say makes it an afterthought?
Well, because everyone more is focused on getting, whether it be a show truck or race truck or whatever the industry is, you know, is everyone's more focused on the tool they're using and not the equipment that they need to get it there. So everyone's more focused, say, for the race truck side of things. They're more focused on, you know, hey, let's get the money into the truck, this and that, you know, versus, oh, hey, we should probably also look into a reliable trailer to get this thing here and there. Granted, because it only comes out, you know, with racing, trailers only come out, you know, a couple times a year. And when you go out, you want it to perform like it should and hold up and not, you know, smoke a tire or blow an axe or something along those lines, you know?
I think this is going to be a really fun chat because I don't know a ton about it. I've always really just focused on the trucks. And I know that there's a lot of diesel enthusiasts, they're going to have a diesel truck regardless of how much they tow. They have a trailer. Maybe they don't tow at all, but there's a lot of people out there. The reason they bought a Cummins Duramax or Powerstroke is because they needed to tow something heavier. And so I think really focusing in on that will be cool. But I wanted to start with yourself. If you want to tell us a bit about you know, you, the company you work for, kind of the background. So I know you're, you know, in that industry, and I think it'll really help when we, you know, jump into the details of it, is knowing exactly, you know, what you do and how you got there and what your focus is.
Yeah, so I grew up in the Pacific Northwest. My dad, his whole life, was a truck driver, so that's where I got my passion for the trucks side of things, you know. And then as I grew older, I started getting more into the diesel pickups as you know, I got a little more knowledgeable on it. Became good friends with a few of the diesel guys in my area because I grew up in Idaho, so Bully Dog was our thing there that we used. So I've been good friends with them. And then I eventually moved to Texas and became a diesel mechanic. So I worked on the semis and obviously always enjoyed going to the races and shows. And for me, it was always about the hauling of things. I enjoy going and watching, but I enjoy the driving and hauling things and turning the heads. So whenever I got a chance, I made a career change and jumped into trailer sales and then really plunged headfirst into this industry and been here almost 3 years now.
That's awesome. So when you made the change, was it hard, or you just knew, hey, this is something I've always been passionate about, hauling things, and I want to be involved with that. So was it easy or hard to kind of put down the tools and jump into the trailer side?
So it was kind of a big change because I'd been a, you know, a mechanic on the semi side of things for almost 7 years. So, you know, constantly working and torturing my body, you know, throughout the days to sitting behind a desk and having more personal people and more of a customer service side of things was a big change. But overall, I think it was a pretty easy transition from one career to the other since I already knew what I was doing and had an idea of it. You know, I wasn't blindly jumping into something else, which helped me a lot. But and I also had great leadership to help me make the transition a lot easier for me as well.
I just thought of a question to ask you that I've heard a lot of guys in the shop will say. They'll go, "Oh, the sales guys got it so easy. They just sit in the nice air conditioned office." Is it easy or is it harder, or what makes it different?
Man, I mean it's both. It's easier because obviously I'm sitting up behind a desk. I've got the AC, you know, I'm not focused on trying to fix a trailer and getting beat by this trailer or truck, whatever it may be. But then again, it's also more stressful because I'm dealing with customers every day. I've got to check emails, phone calls, you know, I've got to make sure things are correct. And then, you know, if something does fail after I sell a trailer, customer always wants to come back directly to me. And then I've got to kind of middleman it, get it over to the service department and make sure everything goes smooth. And then, you know, the whole process of ordering trailers as well can be very daunting for customers who this is a new thing for. So I wouldn't say it's easier. It's just a different level of type of stress, in my opinion. The one thing it is easier is I have AC day in and day out. You know, I'm not in the shop sweating or cold, you know, anything along those lines.
With trailers, like what kind do you sell? What is it, all pickup truck? Is it some of it heavy duty stuff? A little bit of everything?
So we are essentially pickups only. We do everything from your real small little like 5x8 utilities and enclosed trailers up to your big, you know, custom 44-foot goosenecks that you'd see behind, you know, a 3500 or 4500 pickup. I don't do anything along as of like medium duty or dump truck work really. We specialize in, you know, goosenecks, and that's bit our biggest thing is what we do.
That's definitely going to fit in with most of the people who are listening, because they've got to come into Duramax or a Powerstroke.
Yep, exactly.
You had mentioned in the beginning a bit about how there's different, well, that people almost kind of cheapen out or don't focus, or it's an afterthought for the trailer. Can you walk me through what separates different types, either brands or different quality levels that people should be aware of and think about before they buy one?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm not going to name any brands specifically, but I mean, you got your low-end brands, you got your high-end things. And we ride right in the middle, you know. The biggest thing people need to worry about is, you know, say you're hauling a race truck, right? It's maybe just one truck, but you're going to be putting tools and potentially a golf cart or something or side by side on there. So the big thing you need to worry about is the axles are the correct size for the weight you're hauling and overall length is perfect for you, as well as what kind of truck you're pulling it with, you know. Some people like to cheap out and go buy a real small trailer and then either, hey, it's not heavy duty enough for their truck or car, or it's not wide enough and then you got to modify it and then they're not happy with it, you know, stuff like that.
Would Now, when most people come to you, do they already have something in mind that they need, or are they just like, "Hey, I need to accomplish this task. You guys have trailers. Which one do I need?" Or how does that work?
So you get a mixture of both. Some guys come in and they already know exactly what they want, and it's, hey, this and this and this is what I need, and this is what I want, let's do it. Some guys come in and they don't really know what their goal is, but you just ask them a couple questions. Hey, what are you hauling? What are you doing every day? You know, a couple generic questions, and you can kind of organize a trailer. You know, hey, maybe they need a dump trailer, maybe they need a cargo, or maybe they need an equipment trailer. You know, figure out off a few questions exactly what they need, and then you go in that direction of that style of trailer, you know.
I imagine there's so much to probably to learn and pick up. When I just think of trailers, I think of like a race trailer. I think of guys that are hauling stuff. I think of construction, so many different sizes. And then depending what kind of truck they have and you know what it's rated to do, there's probably a ton that goes into just learning everything that's out there and then lining somebody up with what they're going to be happy with.
Yeah. Cause I mean, it's not just cut and dry. Like, hey, this is what it is. This is what you get. You got everything from little tiny equipment trailers that have small 3,500 pound axles all the way up to your big heavy duty deck overs. I've got 16,000 pound axles, you know, and then you got your different brake and axle configurations, your different suspensions, your different wheel and tire packages. You know, some guys want disc brakes and some guys just rather have the drum brakes. There's people out there that are dead set on the heavy duty wheel and tire package just cause they like the longevity of them. And then you got guys that just want a trailer to do what they're doing, and then we'll worry about doing upgrades or whatever, maybe later on down the road if something fails on them.
I'm thinking of somebody listening to this, and I think kind of the reason people buy diesel trucks historically, it's not the only reason, but a main one, is because they're so robust and they will last a long time, and you get the longevity out of them that you may not get with a gas engine. So if I think about a trailer, right, and I think of that perspective, somebody comes to you and says, you know, I've got this 5.9 or 6.7 Cummins or Powerstroke or Duramax. It's going to be my retirement truck. I want a trailer that goes along with it. What are some things you would suggest to them to make sure whatever trailer they're looking at has, like, should it have the disc brakes? Should it have the heavy duty wheel and tire? And I'm sure there's a lot of other things that I just don't even know to ask you, but what should they, what should they look at?
So a big thing is how many times are they going to pull it? You know, like, for example, you got your old farmer guys that trailer may come out just to haul. Hey, so, you know, upgrading to the disc brakes may not be the best option because it is an expensive upgrade, but going to the higher, heavier duty wheel and tire package is a great option because they're going to last longer and they're not going to potentially dry rot and, you know, flat spot sitting there. So if a guy comes in and wants a retirement trailer, for example, hey, you know, I've got a tractor that I'm hauling. Okay, cool. How much does it weigh? How big is it? What kind of deck space are you looking for? And then we can base off there, you know, my big thing that I like to do, if it's a bigger trailer, to try and always upgrade to the bigger wheel and tire package, simply just for the longevity and the safety. Because down here in the down here in South Texas, in Oregon, Arizona, New Mexico, whatever, it gets hot. And you know, if you get into traffic, your trailer's sitting in traffic on the hot asphalt, the concrete, and that's going to wear those trailers out, those tires out a lot more. If you put a bigger tire on them from the factory, they're going to last a lot longer, and they're going to help a lot better. And they're just going to overall last and do what they need to do on a better output than, you know, just a standard regular tire does. You know.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense with just avoiding something that could be an issue, you know, down the road.
Yeah. If we can set them up front with a better wheel and tire right out the gate versus them wearing out a factory set and coming back out to pay a little more for an upgrade, it's something I can do and help them, you know, and kind of explain the safety factors of it as well.
In general, what's the upgrade difference between drum and disc brakes? Like, is it a ton? I'm sure it varies by brand and things like that, but it's kind of like when you think of going to get a truck and it's like, well, am I going to get cloth or leather? Well, leather's only this much more. I think I'll just, you know, I'll splurge on it and get it. Is it a huge price difference?
So traditionally, the go from electric drum brakes to electro hydraulic disc brakes is usually about a $2,500 upgrade. And that could also vary depending on the size of axle and all that stuff. But traditionally, it's about $2,500 to do the upgrade because you're going from just electric drums to electro hydraulic disc brakes. So they're going to perform and act like the brakes on your truck do. With the, you know, the ability to stop a lot better and last longer. You're going to pay more up front for them, but in the aspect of longevity and repairs and maintenance, it's going to cost you less in the long run, which is always a big thing for customers, you know?
Yeah. I think especially like thinking of somebody who hot shots, they're going to be in and out of traffic all over the country or all over a region. It would probably be worth it to have those.
Most definitely on a hot shot trailer, this brakes and the bigger tires is always a big thing because they're always in freeway traffic or they're in, you know, standstill traffic and none of that. But most of those guys are putting an average of 70 to 150,000 miles on a trailer per year. So if they got a brake that's going to stop better and last longer for them, that to them is a big thing. You know, then they less downtime, which means less money lost.
Yeah. I had a question from one of our listeners. I kind of primed the audience and said, hey, we're going to be talking trailers soon. What do you guys want to know? And one of the things that someone asked was about brake controllers. I don't know a lot about them because I don't tow a lot. But, you know, we have these incredibly advanced trucks, these expensive trucks, and then we're going and buying a trailer to meet our needs. Can you walk me through brake controllers and what somebody who isn't familiar with them should know about either selecting them or how they're going to be able to control braking.
Yeah, so I mean, nowadays most all your heavy duty diesel trucks should from the factory come standard with a brake controller. And one thing that's really nice about it is on the Ford and Chevy, or on the Ford and Dodge, sorry, it's really easy to select whether you got electric drum brakes or you got electric or hydraulic. The Chevys, they're supposed to auto pick it up. I don't know how well that works. I've never owned Chevy personally, but on both my Dodges and my Fords I've had, you know, depending on what kind of trailer I'm pulling or hauling, or, you know, if it's my personal trailer, I get in there and I can set it and save it correctly, which is nice, you know, because as soon as I hook that trailer up, it automatically knows, hey, this is a disc brake trailer or this is a drum brake trailer. Now, for the older trucks that may not have that, you always got to go in and have an aftermarket brake controller installed. And typically, they just do – all they do is send a signal back, and it may work correctly. It may have a little bit of delay on it. The big one that we push is called the P3. It allows you to adjust your gain, and then how fast they come on, you know, as well. And it's really easy to set up and plug in all that jazz. It only takes about an hour to install them because they typically already plug into a factory harness to the truck.
Okay, gotcha. Now, on those older trucks where you're doing an aftermarket controller, how does somebody know how quickly they want them to come on, or what settings do they want?
So that is one of those things that you tell each customer, hey, haul this trailer empty. Set your controller gain, you know, say on aftermarket gain, okay, we're going to set it empty at like, I don't know, three to four on the gain. And what you're going to do is you're going to stop the trailer. And as long as those brakes don't drag, you're doing all right. And then what you want to do is obviously pull your emergency brake on it, let off your truck brakes. And as long as that trailer rolls a little bit, then holds, you know, you got it set correctly. Now, if you're going down the highway and you tap the brakes and that trailer locks up, you've got your gain set too high. So it's one of those things. You know, and if it's a guy hauling the exact same thing every time, he's going to get the comfortability of it and set it empty to this and then loaded to this and never have to worry about it. But for those guys that, you know, maybe hot shotting or something like that, pulling different weight, it's one of those things they're going to have to test it as they get loaded and go off and hit the road before they, you know, check the brakes and all that good stuff.
I thought of an unrelated question to ask you when you mentioned Ford and Dodge and Chevy. Is I'm sure you get a ton of customers, probably have all three. It's probably a third. But
yeah, so well, here in Texas, it's really a lot of Dodges and Fords, realistically.
I found that it varies by area a lot. Like where I'm at in Colorado, I'd say it's mostly Ford and Dodge, but then other areas I've been to, it's like Chevy and Ford, and Dodge isn't quite as big. So it can vary by region. But do you hear feedback? I'm sure you have repeat customers and guys, you know, maybe switch brands or get the newest, you know, truck model. What do they tend to be happiest with whatever, you know, kind of truck they have, with just towing and just being happy with the purchase of the truck?
So for those guys that do hot shot, right, they want the truck obviously to be comfortable because they're spending 12, 13 hours a day in it. So I've got some customers that are dead set and die hard on the Cummins engine platform because it's an inline six. It's real easy to work on. It's simple. The exhaust brakes on them are phenomenal. And, you know, pretty much everybody in this country who's a mechanic is familiar with the Cummins engine. Now you got those guys that want, you know, the nice comfortability of a Ford, because I will say this personally, I own in both. I think the Fords personally do ride better. And the 10 speeds are awesome, better fuel economy. They're not hunting for gears as much as a Dodge is with those six speeds. As far as the Chevys, I get a lot of older guys who like the Chevys because those things really do ride like a Cadillac compared to any other solid axle truck on the market. I've got a client who's got five Fords. I think he's got three or four Dodges and he's got two Chevys. And he's been happiest with his older Dodges and his brand new Fords. Surprisingly, he says the old 5.9s work really well. And then his new 10 speed Fords perform amazing because he's getting his guys up into the mountains. And having that 10-speed transmission does really well in those hills because it's not overheating as much because it's got more gearing there. And then it also, again, I'll perform on better fuel economy as well.
I keep hearing a lot about the 10-speed in the Ford trucks. And you have one?
I had one. I got rid of it because I'm looking to order a 23. But I had a 2022 F-350 single wheel with a 355 gear set in them. And, man, going down the highway empty, I was doing like 18 miles a gallon. And that thing was real smooth. And what's nice is when you're not loaded or getting into the throttle, it'll skip gear. So it'll go like 1, 3, 5 and skip up to 10. As soon as you kick the exhaust brake on and tow haul mode on and it feels a load there, it'll start shifting through each gear individually and it rides really well.
Would you, the question I was going to ask you is, would you say that transmission changes the driving experience so much that you would buy, well, I know you're going to buy a 2023, but for someone who's is thinking about it, like you need to drive this truck because you might not be a Ford fan, but you need this transmission. You need to see the difference between it and a six speed.
Most definitely. And for example, I've got a really good friend of mine who does enclosed transport for a living, and he hauls, multi-million dollar cars. So having that 10 speed for him is a little bit, I would say, a safer option because it's not hunting gears all the time. And if a truck's hunting gears and, those old Dodge six speeds, we know how they'll shift sometimes. And if they shift real hard, your load may want to move a little bit. And he averages about 2 to 250,000 miles a year on his trucks. And he says that Ford on that 10 speed outperforms his Dodges any day of the week. And he's had his Dodges hopped up and he keeps his Fords completely stock. And he says those Fords are way better day in and day out on the 10 speed. And he's got a 2020 and a 2022.
It's interesting. I think it's changing the, the diesel truck market is that 10 speed. I mean, I guess it, if we think back to like the Allison days, I mean, you had a, a 4100, a 48 RE, and then Allison had their five speed, then their six speed, and that kind of set the standard. And now we're into the 10 speed market. And it's definitely exciting to hear some of the feedback, like you mentioned, and things that other people are saying about how much they just love driving them.
Yeah, and I will say, man, don't get me wrong, my 6-7 Dodges I've all had were awesome trucks. They perform very well. But you get into those hills or something like that with the load on, it'll start hunting between fifth and sixth gear. And sometimes you just got to downshift it to hold it in fifth gear and then pull your RPMs will set up and your trans temp will climb a little bit. But that's the best way to run those trucks when you're pulling a load up a hill. Whereas the Fords, the Chevys, for example, the GMs, I guess technically, they'll ride seventh, eighth gear with no problems, pulling a hill loaded, and not have to worry about sitting there changing gears on them all the time.
I had a question from another listener. He was asking about what is a good GPS system because I guess the one he has will tell him like merge three lanes over now, and he's like, there's a guardrail there. So I'm not sure if you guys get into that kind of stuff, but if you do, are there any sort of things you would say someone should, look out for or do research on, if they're going to be towing in areas where they're not familiar and just kind of crisscrossing the country?
Man, so I personally use Apple Maps, but I know there's a lot of people that don't like it, and sometimes it does get confusing. I think the most user-friendly and I guess advanced GPS that I have come to find is Waze, because it's real lifetime people updating it. Drivers down the road say, "Hey, you see a car wreck?" They'll get on there and ping, "There's a car wreck in this lane," or whatever, and it kind of helps you, maybe avoid that traffic travel lanes. Or if enough people ping it and traffic starts backing up, Waze will automatically reroute you to save you some time and headache from sitting in that traffic.
That's
Google Maps, I know, is as good as well. I never did get comfortable with Google Maps just because I used Apple for so long. Transitioning over to Google made it a little hard for me.
It's some of them, I get real familiar with, and it's just like we get, kind of stuck in it. But I think of those guys that are, just going all over the place, and they just want to maximize that time, like you mentioned, and getting stuck in a traffic jam somewhere, would absolutely cost you a lot of
And
time.
I know and on like the hotshot side, a lot of guys like the Garmin, I think it is, because it'll actually, tell you like your drive time for that day, how much time you have left whenever you need to take a break, stuff like that.
I thought of a question for you, out of my own curiosity, is a lot of what we talk about on the podcast with trucks is about trends and technology and the way things have progressed really fast, whether it's with the aftermarket or it's with stock trucks and 10 speeds and all the different things that are with them. Do you see, well, have there been any major advancements with trailers, either physically with them or maybe the warranties that are on them or some of the technology, or has there been advancements in it that if somebody has an old trailer and like, ah, it's good enough, I don't need a new one, where you tell them, hey, this new one's got all these features on it that, this 20 or 30 year old one or however old it is that you have doesn't have. It's worth going to the new one.
Yeah, so physically, trailers obviously have been the same. But what you're not seeing is like the structural side of things. every day these trailer manufacturers and steel companies are getting together, finding new ways to make them more durable and lighter weight so they can haul heavier things as well as be less stressful in the truck. You know, like for example, PJ Trailers, which is what we sell, just did a complete revamp on their tandem dual trailers and as well as their single wheel deck overs. It just went into production. So they redesigned the neck completely to a one piece solid neck, which in turn makes it more durable, stronger, and lighter than previous iterations, as well as they added this new thing called the twist guard, which is designed to help keep the trailer from flexing going down the highway, which you'll see time to time on these trailers. But really overall, besides that, they've stayed fairly simple. Obviously there's really not a lot of electronics to them. There's not a lot of, you know, computers on them really. I mean, really the only computer you'll see on a trailer is if it's got an air ride, you know, you'll get that motherboard in there. Besides that, they're pretty simple. Warranty wise, they've stayed, most manufacturers I know of are running like a 3-year frame and a 5 to 10 year axle warranty. And that's about it.
How often do you have to service the axles on them?
So, with PJs, we run all Dexter axles. And they recommend on a severe duty trailer, which is your hotshot guys, you know, whatever, a car hauler guys, every 10 to 15,000 miles. For your, you know, regular guys who may not pull the trailer a whole lot, yearly, you want to get in and do a full inspection on it, you know, repack the bearings, fresh grease, inspect the brakes, you know, make sure nothing's seized up or dry rot along those lines. And then if there is, obviously repair or replace.
You had mentioned earlier the service department, where you work. Do you guys set up, like, say you sell somebody a trailer, do you guys do it almost like on the truck side where you say, hey, I know you're going to be doing, you know, 10 or 15,000 miles really quick. Come in on this day. Let's, you know, do some maintenance on it. Let's check this and this and this. Is it, I can tell they're a lot simpler than a pickup truck, but also the maintenance schedule, which has been a huge thing on the podcast. People have asked for it. They want their equipment to last as long as it can and perform that way. So, like as a company or, you know, you yourself, how do you approach the service side of trailers?
If I tell, you know, for example, say, hey, you're a hotshot guy. Hey, man, every 10 to 15,000 miles, if you can get into us, great. Let's get that thing in, do a full once over on the trailer from top to bottom, you know, especially the first 15,000 miles. On the heavy line side, we call that the shakedown period, because in the first 15,000 miles, everything's doing its real first heat cycle, breaking in, setting in, you know. So if something comes loose or is going to fail, it typically is going to fail within that time period. So if we get you in the first 10,000 miles, go over everything, you know, check the torque on everything, you know, inspect your brakes, make sure they've done their correct heat cycles, you know, put fresh oil in it. That's really the best way to do it. And with my hotshot guys, if I can get them locally to get it into one of my stores, because I've got stores across Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri, and Arkansas, if I can get them to one of my locations to get the maintenance done on it, that's better. If not, get them in somewhere and have them keep maintenance records of it. That way we know, hey, okay, you know, the truck was at 25,000 miles. We did the trailer 10,000 miles, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and for a lot of these guys, it works out well. They can plan a maintenance item where they drop the trailer off for service and then they take the truck to the dealer, or whether they can do it themselves and just do everything at one time. That way they're home for one little bit of period, get it all done and knocked out, and then keep everything on a schedule together.
What would you say would be three mistakes that people make that are, well, I'm sure with like the seasoned haulers, like they know what they want, what to do, what to ask, what the price is, but the new guys, like what are three mistakes the new guys would make where you'd say, definitely think about these three things before you buy anything to make sure that this is going to fit what you need.
So big thing is confirming what kind of truck they got. Cause you know, obviously you can have a 2,500, 3,500, but you may be pulling more weight that you need for a 4,500 example. So confirm with the weight, the kind of equipment or hot or tooling they'll be carrying all the time. Also the size and length, because that's a big thing for a lot of people don't pay attention to. Is, hey, you need a 20 footer, but they go and buy a 15 footer, then they're mad or whatever it may be. And then also, if they're going gooseneck or bumper pull, you know, what they're going to be doing, you know, because if some guys buy a bumper pull and then want to throw a 20,000 pound skid steer behind it, realistically, you can do it. It's just not comfortable for the truck because you're putting all that weight on the back end. You really would like to get into a gooseneck. It'll handle the load a lot safer as well as perform a lot better going down the highway.
With bumper pull, that thought, I just thought of a question. Is somebody had asked about hitches, and it's been a it could be a popular topic, I think, kind of for the newer guys, because they're trying to set all this up, right? They got the truck, they've got lined up with the trailer. What are some things they should consider with which hitch to use? And then also, I guess, to throw kind of just to kind of throw a curveball in it is, you know, a lot of guys lift their trucks and they got bigger wheels and tires and they're not sitting, you know, on stock ride height. How does all that factor into being able to connect that trailer to that truck?
So we'll go off a stock truck, for example, right now. So you stock, say you got a stock 2500 Chevy or Ford Dodge, right? Traditionally now on these newer modern trucks, they're gonna have a bigger hitch on them. So you want to make sure to get the best towing capabilities and comfort, you want to make sure your hitch fits your receiver correctly, not have to worry about having a reducer in there. And then as well as getting the, like a drop hitch, for example, you want to make sure you have the correct drop. So on all these stock trucks, I try to keep people around a 5 to 7 inch drop, because that'll give them enough adjustability on most on most trailers. That'll keep them riding perfectly level, loaded or empty. And then when we go to the lifted trucks, it really depends on the size of lift they're going with. You know, for example, say a 10 inch lift with 40s, right? Guys want to throw a big hitch on them. Well, the bigger the hitch you go and the lower you have that ball set down in that hitch, the more sway you're going to get. So, you know, I've got a customer who's got he does have a 10 inch with 38s, and we sold him a 15 inch drop with stabilizer bars that run to the bottom of the hitch and run back up to the frame, which would give more stability on that hitch and allow him to still comfortably tow with that truck at the height it sits at.
I'm realizing that in the trailer or just in the towing world, it's almost like the aftermarket where you got all these different turbo sizes, all these different transmission options, all these different injector sizes.
Well, and there's tons of different hitch options. You know, there's Gen Y, there's BMW, there's WaySafe, Anderson, you know, and then you've got all your different, you know, shank sizes and, you know, your different ball sizes, stuff like that, you know. So it's not just, you know, plug and play, let's go. Unless you have a stock truck and not do nothing with it, you know, and just a standard hitch work, cool, great. But a lot of the guys in this industry like to do something with their truck. So whether it be a leveling kit, wheels and tires, or a lift kit, then you got to really get it, dig into the trailer and the hitch. And what's nice too now is a lot of these more modern bump pulls have adjustable hitches too. So you can adjust it where the coupler sets on the trailer and then also the ball on the truck, which is great, you know.
Yeah, and be able to customize it. That's cool.
Because
go ahead.
I say, because, you know, there's tons of people out there that have different trailers that sit differently. So if you have an adjustable hitch on the trailer, you can really set it exactly how you need it, so it works on both, on every trailer on that same truck multiple times.
Yeah. I was just thinking of that with, you know, some people I know where they have a construction business. They have a set of trailers for that. Then they go hunting and they have a trailer they take for that. And then they have something else that they haul, you know, stuff to the scrapyard with. And it's just all so different.
Yep. Every trailer is going to sit different. It's going to ride different, you know, whether it be a 14 foot, you know, or a bigger. You've really got to make sure you set it correctly. You know, a lot of things I tell people is when your trailer is empty, hook your truck. You want it to ride a little bit nose heavy. That way, when you load it, it levels out and then it rides. That will give you the best ride quality possible.
You had mentioned the 2023 that you want to order. And I was going to ask you more about, you know, your passion for diesel trucks and performance and things like that is, like, as far as racing, did you ever get into racing and things like that? Or has it been more about like just the comfort of this truck and the, you know, just being able to drive it and, you know, maybe haul some things and do stuff like that?
So I love racing. I've actually got an 07 F-250 single cab that I purchased earlier this year that the goal is to make it like a 900,000 horsepower street truck. But I do obviously like the comfort of, you know, your daily driver tow pigs, you know. But the diesel racing has been my biggest passion for a long time. Hence why I hang out with the Truck Jam guys quite a bit. I've been there since day one. So that's really where my passion lies, on the racing side of things, whether it be, you know, gas car or diesel pickups or semis or boats, whatever it is. If it's got a motor and it wants to race, I'm all about it.
So what's the plan with the 6.0 as far as like engine and fueling and turbo and the whole setup?
So it is a 07 6.0 with the ZF6 behind it. Obviously, if I want to try to be a slightly competitive street truck, I'm going to have to pull that ZF6 out, which sucks because it's a lot of fun to drive. But I'm going to shoot for probably a 4R behind it. And then we've been talking a KC under the hood. Obviously, we're going to do a full, you know, stud job on it. Kill devil heads more than likely. I don't know what the internal plan is. I don't know if we're going to try and see if we can make the stock 6.0 handle 900 to 1,000 and then below, or if we're just going to put a built 6.0 in it or eventually drop a 6.7 Cummins in there. We've got it. I've talked with Truck Source Diesel out of San Antonio quite a bit on this and just trying to get an idea figured out. But right now, the main goal is 900 to 1,000 and be done until I get bored and then step up.
When did you think about tackling this and kind of proceeding with it, like over the winter, maybe next year?
So I bought the truck back in March when I sold my old dually, and I was just going to drive that truck daily for a while and then wait and buy a new one. And then my new truck came in. So I was like, all right, well, now it's a good idea to maybe start tearing into this truck. So I think the tentative goal is by the season of 2024 to have it sitting close to about 900. And then I can progress up a little more, whatever I need to do throughout the season 2024. But I think we're going to tear it down this year, this winter. Obviously, I guess we're rolling into winter. I want to pull the cab, bed everything off, and I want to go through everything because it is a Midwest truck. So I know there's some rust there. So I want to go through everything. I want to fully reseal that engine and go through it top to bottom and replace and repair anything that needs to be done on it, and then go from there.
It's going to be a fun project, though. Anytime I've had guys on with 6 liters, they're so passionate about that truck, and to see the aftermarket, how much it's progressed for them with power fueling. I mean, everything. It's a really cool platform to be able to have some fun with.
Yeah, and it's, for me, it's my first power stroke. I've always been a Cummins guy simply for the engine, and then I started getting itch for a 6.0 when I started paying more attention to the KC guys and what they're doing with the 6.0 behind that little purple race truck. And then I started digging into them more and, you know, realized, like, all right, man, this thing could be a lot of fun. And then good buddies over at Power Stroke Ingenuities, he's got a 6.0 in his old F-100, and that thing is pretty rowdy. And I was like, you know what? They're awesome. A lot of people hate them because they're known for blowing head gaskets and whatever it may be. But you build them correctly, they are reliable, and they are a blast. And they just have a sound to them that is like nothing else on the market. And to me, you know, you come rolling in a single cab 6.0 and, you know, whack some GT500 or whatever it may be and hurt some feelings in the car, that's going to set the tone for the day.
I think what you just mentioned there is really, really what's helped that platform. I think all of them, I mean, they all have problems. Every Cummins, Duramax, Power Stroke, doesn't matter the year, they all had something. But the aftermarket catching up to offer the solutions has been really fun to watch and cover over the years with the 6 liters. And I mean, they're still doing crazy things. And I know next year there's a whole bunch of guys that are going to be doing even more with them. And it's cool to see that.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I think that side of the industry has progressed a lot in the last couple of years, like you said. And I think it's just only going to grow more and more as these newer trucks are going to be harder and harder to do anything with, you know, cause they're cracking down on this stuff a lot more. So more people are going to revert back to these older engines. Yep. That are a lot easier to get into and tear down and build, and there's more support for them already, you know.
So what's the I had read some things about ordering the new Super Duties. Do they have it like kind of ironed out when they're going to deliver and everything, or how's that process work?
So I talked to my salesman because I've got the itch to build another trailer, and the way I do it is I usually build a trailer to go to a truck, and so I'm trying to play it out by ear, but as of right now, he's telling me, because I'm looking at a 450 King Ranch, he's telling me we could see upwards of 13 months on delivery on some of these trucks, depending on the package and options you choose. He said some of these trucks may deliver in 8-9 months, you know, some 13-14 months. It all really just depends. So when I get a better idea and the orders open back up, then I'll start going through my options and specing another trailer out, build it to match that truck, and, you know, specify exactly how I want to do it, and then give it to the factory and make it happen.
Is the trailer market different than the big three? Because, you know, I've just seen things with delays, or if you want, you can get the truck a little sooner if you delete this thing off of it. Is the supply of trailers pretty good?
So up until I would say probably about April to May this year, things were really hard to get. There's a lot of things they had discontinued for temporary just to make the process of building a trailer a lot quicker and a lot easier. But now, man, I'm sitting on a fully stocked yard of about 400 units when from 2020, mid 2020 up to about April this year, I was seeing maybe 160, 170 units on my lot at a time. And then not only that, but with the redesign of everything from PJ, they've really prepped themselves to blow this trailer into the market and have a ton of inventory. So that way, when you want to build it, it's there. You know, lead times have come down quite a bit. For example, like my old trailer that I built, it was a very customized trailer. And I think it took me around 4.5-5 months because I placed it the first week of January in 2021, and I got it a week and a half before I left for UCC in May. Now I just ordered a trailer for a dude on October 24th, and it hit my lot last week. And he had a his was a pretty decked out trailer as well. So I'm starting to see the time frames come down a lot more, as well as the options are starting to come back. So they're starting to allow more custom things again, like they hadn't for the longest time.
That's cool. That's really cool to hear that. Getting stock levels up and the options back. I know there's a lot of frustrated truck owners out there that are waiting, you know, for this new model or when can I get it? Or are they told me a week or by now? And I mean, I've been to a few lots, I don't know, last couple months. And I think I said on another episode, like I remember going into like a Chevy dealer and there'd be like 5 red ones, 10 white ones, 4 black ones. Now there's like a red and a silver and that's it. And you know, it's tougher
if
to
you're
find
lucky to even see that.
Yeah.
Because I know my local Ford dealer here, their stock is starting to get back up. But I remember at one point you drive by and you see maybe 5-6 new vehicles in total and then a handful of used. But just getting to put your hands on a new truck was almost impossible unless you're willing to drive somewhere, you know, and maybe get lucky in that. Maybe that when you get there, may not, you know, until you get to that dealership, you're not going to know. And now it's how it was with trailers for the longest time, too. You know, a guy calls, say, hey, I'm looking for a 40-foot 12Ks. Okay, cool, man. I've got one here. I just got it. If it's something you're ready to buy, let's get a deposit on it, secure it, because it may not be in the next hour. And, you know, sometimes it would happen where you got the phone with a guy and some dude would walk in and buy that same truck right then and there before someone could come in and look at it.
Yeah, I think if somebody's in the market, you know, for one, and the supply's there, you know, it's grab it, you know, instead of having to wait like it was for that that time period. We had talked about a lot of different towing and trailing trailers and different aspects to them. And I'm sure I missed a ton of questions somebody's going to have, or they might be they're in Texas or Oklahoma or somewhere near you. And they're like, Patrick didn't ask this question. What is a way to be able to get in contact with you, ask you, you know, maybe something, maybe they are in the market, maybe looking for something specific or want to do something custom. Be able to reach out to you, connect, ask those questions.
So on Instagram, it's that guy named Dallas. Obviously, named in Dallas. There's 2 D's there. And then Facebook is Dallas the Trailer Guy. And then email-wise, my work email is DallasM, like Mary, at NationwideTrailers.com. Or if they want to call my store, 817-457-3535. Just tell them to ask me. And if they got any questions, we can go over it. Or if they want to order something. Or if they just need some help, we can most definitely help them one way or another.
Well, it was cool to chat with you. Like I said, when we connected, I just all these ideas for an episode came out because we're always talking about the truck and not what it's being bought to haul. And you know, thinking of those guys that are just new to it and they're trying to decide, you know, what do I need? Where should I go? What are some, you know, things I should pay attention to? And you definitely answered those. So I appreciate your time today chatting with us, educating me, helping me learn a little bit more about them.
Yeah, of course.
And that whole side of the industry.
Yeah, it's been a good time. Hopefully we can help some people out there, or you know, or maybe there's already people who already know a lot. We can teach them something else as well. But it's what we're here for, man. I know people always say salesmen are the scum of the earth, but at the end of the day, my job is to sell you a trailer that's going to fit what you need, or custom build your trailer to exactly what you want. And at the end of the day, I try to do that as best I can. My phone's on. It might be 9 o'clock at night on Sunday. Someone reaches out, I'm typically still going to respond if I'm up and going. So that's one way to get hold of me is just contact me, email, or so Instagram maybe.
Don't forget, diesel fans, make sure and head on over to fluiddampener.com if you're going to be doing some winter maintenance on your truck or you're doing a race build. It's a really key part of your rotating assembly that You know, if you just picked up an older truck or you have one that you're refreshing, the stock one can have some issues. It can start to degrade over time, and then it potentially can lead to a catastrophic engine failure. Their product definitely takes care of that. And if you're thinking about making more than stock horsepower, it doesn't have to be a race truck, just something that, you know, maybe you're getting up to 800, 900, 1,000, 1,100, 1,200 horsepower. It's a great way to protect your built engine and make sure that the harmonics are balanced and you're not having a rotating assembly issue. Just head on over to fluidamp.com. Let them know if you have any questions. Send them an email, give them a call. They're more than happy to chat with you and make sure that you get lined up for your truck. Also, it's around the holiday time, a great way to save some money. Our friends over at Kershaw Knives have given us a discount code just for you guys. Use code DIESEL20 at kershaw.kiausa.com. A great way to either get a gift or maybe treat yourself if you need a knife to throw in a toolbox or hunting, fishing, or maybe you're really into knives and you're into different opening mechanisms, blade steels, handle materials. We've got a ton of things to meet any budget. I encourage you to head on over there, check it out. Just put Diesel 20 in at checkout and save 20%. I want to give a shout out to some of our Patreon supporters, Tyler Lowen at 23 Diesel, Caleb, John, all of our other Patreon supporters, all of you who subscribe on YouTube, podcast apps, Instagram, Facebook. We appreciate all your support, all your feedback, all of you on Discord. Love seeing what you guys are working on, the questions, and really direction you guys give us for what you want to hear on the podcast with different products or different topics. We appreciate the support you've given us as we're heading into year 7, and we couldn't have done it without you guys listening and being part of the Diesel Podcast community. Until next time, keep the shiny side up.